begin now the eighth perek, perek ches, of Bava Kama, Mishnah Aleph. But this perek deals with, unlike the previous perekim, when it's a person harming another person. In the previous perekim, the first six perekim, we talked about a person's property harming another person's property
battery.
Normally. So here it's a person owning a person, harming a person. Okay, battery. Yep.
I
think a person's liable for assault. This is what I didn't want to do now. This is what I don't want to do. But I think a person's liable for assault. I think assault is any undesired contact, even if it didn't hurt. That's a quality called assault. And batteries when it did hurt them. Or someone, I don't know exactly how to define, but I think that's how it works. In other words, if I like grab your shirt and I say, listen buddy, I'm going to break your neck, but then I back down, that's already called assault, but not battery because I didn't actually hit you. But that's why I feel like sexual assault is when you didn't want to be touched there in any way.
So that wouldn't be in this
favor. I'm not sure, because busha would be like, we'll see in a second. I think that would be in this. Okay, it's not. I think it would be in this parak, because we're going to learn about busha as a crime all to itself, embarrassing someone. And you'll see. So that was not better, like uncovering a woman's hair. I don't know like how the secular law would deal with that. Or pulling off their clothing, which is in the Mishnah, this parak. I don't know if that's not called battery. I don't know what that is called. I would assume it's called assault. I'd assume. Okay, anyways, the Mishnah says, now it's starting out. The point is, we're talking about human beings harming other human beings, Jews harming Jews, I guess. If a person hurts his fellow, here just means the loosely terms hurts him, harms him. Chayav alav mishum t'chamisha devarim. So the payment that the perpetrator has to pay his victim is got five components to it. Now these components are nezek. He's chayav benezek. Then the actual, we'll define them all later on. But nezek just means for the actual damage caused, his loss of value. In other words. We'll see in a second. But tsar means the pain he suffered, he has to be compensated for. Ripui is his medical attention. Sheves is his loss of wages. And boshes is embarrassment. Now, each of these five can come independently of the other. In other words, you can set up cases where the only payment that's going to be made is a tsar payment, or a nezik payment, or a boshes payment, and so on. It doesn't need to be that they're all five together. You could set it up that the only thing you have to pay is just boshes, because the person, there's no harm done other than you humiliated the person, etc. We're going to now define these five things. Benezik ketzad, how do you quantify the nezik, the damage caused to the victim? So, simas eino, if the perpetrator blinded the victim's eye, or kata es yado, or he amputated off his hand, shiver es raglo, or broke his foot. Rono so, you look at the victim, kilu hu eved, as if he were a slave, nimkar b'shuk, that was up for sale in the open slave markets. V'shamun kama haya yafa, v'kama hu yafa, you figure out how much he would have been worth yesterday before he had a broken leg, and how much he's worth now. And that damage is going to be the nezik payment. So just to speak it out, I hope I'm not extrapolating too far, but I can only reasonably assume that in the battle days of slave trade, people also have had white-collar jobs and talent. You know, there were also people who were, I don't know what they were, scribes and so forth and other, you know, things. So if a person was a scribe, so or a calligraphist, or the modern day version, he's a lawyer, whatever the story is. So when you chop off his hand, you've now it's not just that slaves with hands go for thousands, without hands go for 100. Yeah, this slave would have gone for 1,000,000 because you would have had 40 years of productive, you know, labor off this lawyer. And now that you've chopped off his hand and he can't write briefs anymore, so now he can't be a lawyer anymore. So you've lost, he's caused $1,000,000 of damage. So I'll show you from a proof later on, it has to be that way. I believe that the slave, when we say slave value, we're just mindful that slaves would go talent, if there would be a talented slave, you know, someone who could essentially exploit their labor for their full productive years, that would be a very high price. You know, anything, you know, like find yourself an architect or a doctor, and imagine you could just, he like lives in a box, and you just, you know, office hours or, you know, whatever it is, you know, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., work him whole day long, and you collect everything, all the revenue he generates for his whole lifetime. That's a massive value. So that's what this slave would be worth, in theory, once he's now chopped off his hands and he can't practice anymore. So the nezek dam will be that full damage onto his person that is separate from the unemployment payment. I'm just trying to point that out to you. In other words, there could be unemployment payments, which could be a separate payment. But we're talking here that this eved, you know, when you sell a 20-year-old guy who's just out of, you know, Harvard Medical School, that he would fetch a massively high price as a slave because you're owning all of his production, and you've incapacitated him, so now you owe the whole package in terms of his damage done to him. But you look, fine. Tsar is the second. I'll prove in a second why it's different than Shevis. Tsar is the second payment. That means suffering. It could be, by the way, it doesn't discuss it here, but it also would be included emotional suffering, if it would be. If you could differentiate that from busha, but to the extent that there would be. Well, maybe we'll put emotional suffering in busha for argument's sake. There's tsar. Well, let's average check what it said. I'll put all emotional suffering under busha. The measurements are the same measurement, but local tsar is physical suffering. So the Mishnah is going to, I'll define in a second, but the Mishnah is going to illustrate by giving a way that you could cause a person tsar pain without actually doing any nezek, without doing any damage to him. In other words, the guy, even to the most scrutinizing, you know, slave, you know, dealer, he wouldn't deduct a penny from the civilized value before and after the whatever it was, the perpetrator did whatever he did to him. So here's the case. Kava'o bishpud, he burned him with a, you know, shpud is like a, what's the word in English?
Skewer,
that's the word I wanted. You know, like the idea, shipudim, we actually, by the way, just to let you know, we saw shipudim in sukkah, that's very good, good memory, very good. In sukkah, it was like those metal bars used as chach, kilo. The point is, a shpud is like a long metal dowel or whatever, I don't know. You know, all-purpose metal stick, used for cooking, obviously, often. Oba masmer, masmer is a nail. The point is, you have a very hot piece of metal, and you burn the guy with it. Vafilo al tziporno, even if it's on his fingernail, let's say. So then there's no bruising done to a fingernail. He feels the pain, you know, electrocuted him. Our model thing equivalent of giving an electric shock with a taser gun. Afterwards, there's nothing, he looks like nothing happened to the guy. Right? So, makum she'ena osa chabura, the fingernail is a place where no bruise happens. Notwithstanding, om din kama adam kayotze bezeh, the way you measure the tsar, the payment for the pain, is a person like this, how much would he be rota lito lios mitzdar kach? How much would he be willing to pay to undergo this kind of damage? So that's what the Rambam learns. The Rambam learns it literally. The Rambam says that means you find a person that's in equal station in life to the victim. You know, equally, you know, because obviously people who are wimpy like us aren't hard on like people who are like are working 24/7, you know, a slave, whatever, they're getting beaten all day by their slave master. They're hardened, whatever it is. Whatever it is, everyone's their own thing. The point is you find someone who's equally, you know, from the equal station in life, you know, the same person, same kind of person in terms of their pampering, whatever. And you say, how much, this is the Rambam Shita, how he learns the Mishnah, which reads exactly what the Mishnah says. You say, listen, you find that analogous person, we say, I want to know, I'm a crazy sadist, and I want to stick this, you know, burning nail into your finger, or whatever the crime happened to be, punch in the nose. How much will you be, but think of the burning nail, so we just isolate just the tsar component of it. How much would you be willing to let me pay you so I can burn you with this nail? Whatever he would say, I want, you know, $500,000 for it, that's the tsar payment. Okay? The reason it's going to be, you have to isolate that separate from like the embarrassment or the lack of
money.
I made up the number.
No, I'm saying,
all right, it's a lot of number. Right. Make sure you isolate. I said, just make sure you isolate the pain component of it. For starters, don't think of, you also don't want to get mugged. You also don't want to have a hole in your arm. You don't want to have the. But you're talking just the pain component. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Rambam is sheet just like that. Like I said, how much would the guy be willing to pay? The Rosh essentially takes your position, which is like, what? That's a lot of money. That's actually probably an infinite amount of money. Like, who's gonna? I'm not letting you burn me. I don't care. What are you, crazy? I'm not letting you pay me $10 million. You're not burning me. What are you talking about? Are you crazy? So the Rambam, I guess, says, I'm putting words in his mouth because he didn't say this. He just said what I said. he would say, listen, everything has a price. Believe me, if you lay down the suitcase full of money, he'll say, fine, fine. But the rush says no. People, like normal people, will not accept pain for any amount of money. It's crazy. So the rush is all the money in the world. A person wouldn't take all the money in the world to have someone afflict them with pain. That's crazy. It's like, it's perverse. You know, it's not. So the Rosh Shita is, although it doesn't read this way in the Mishnah, he says essentially, a person who was, like the king had said, you know, your punishment is we're going to stick, you know, burning metal shpudim into your fingernails. So how much would you be prepared to pay to bribe his way out of that? Which is a different kind of calculation. And presumably much, much, much less, I think.
Well, that depends on the person and how much money he's got.
Well,
which guy can spend more money without even a million?
So a person in the same station.
Or guys, they only have, you know, 100 bucks.
Well, no, I don't think the limitation would be based on like his capacity to pay, but it's certainly, it would depend on which kind of, like his social place in life, like I suggested before. Someone who's used to getting beaten up all the time, like, you know, when we go bike riding, I always wear my knee pads, and no one else does oftentimes, because like, even as a kid, I was like terrified. I don't like getting hurt. Like, particularly, no, so my whole life I've avoided, so I'm very soft, let's say. I think they call it like a low threshold for pain, or whatever that's supposed to mean. But I'm very averse to getting nixon. But other people, like who I see on the right of me, who've like been doing, you know, skateboarding and rollerblading and skiing their whole lives, like, okay, so I'll get a broken arm. Like, it doesn't even like phase them. It doesn't even phase them. Like, there's a different kind of people. You know, they get a stick goes in their forearm and they just like pull it out and keep on riding. Like, so, no, that's just, I don't believe necessarily that they have really, in truth, any higher or lower threshold for pain than me, but they're used to it. So then, that's what we're talking about. We have to find a person who's equally used to it. You know, people are, that's that. But in terms of, I can't imagine it means, of course, the guy who's poor has no money to bribe the king. That's a silly limitation. In any case, those are two approaches in that. Fine. The next step is ripui. Ripui is the medical bills, the medical costs. Hiko, if a person hurts his friend, he is chayav lerpo, so he has to heal him. Now, the Gemara actually says there are two ways he can go about this. He can either pay him on a pay-as-you-go basis. Every day he has to pay for the new medical bills and the new medicine. Or he can, I guess, the basin can get a lump sum payment up front. The basin will say how much this is going to cost to do it and pay once to get on with his life. And that is the prerogative of the perpetrator to choose which way he goes with that. So obviously, that can be, like insurance companies, that can be a win or lose proposition depending on how things play themselves out. But anyways, that's the din. Alabot smachem. What happens if, you know, all I did was like stick you in the arm with a fork? That's just bad, but not that bad. But the next thing you know, alabot smachem, it got infected. Literally, growths grew up there. You know, because you can imagine like an infection.
Dabs, no?
Sprouts. It means infection. The lashon that talks about is abuos, which are like remember the bubbles on the surface of an esrog? That's what it's. You know, like an infection. You know, God forbid. Before the days of antibiotics, what happens? It gets like pus-filled bubbles and all that kind of nasty stuff. But nasty stuff. What do you mean? It was a dirty fork. You're chewing food and stuff. Whatever. Other story. Okay. Let me mention that. So, alabot smachem. If the infection sprouts over there, that's the horrible verb. But there it is. So im machmas samaka. Pretty gross. Pretty gross. Im machmas samaka. If the reason why the infection came was because of the maka, because I jabbed you with a dirty fork, so then chayev, then me, the perpetrator, is chayev to pay you, not just for the what we thought was there, but also to pay for the antibiotic treatment, also for the infection that goes. Shalom machma maka, if it wasn't, the infection wasn't because of what I did to you, then pater, then of course I'm pater. So the question is, well, obviously, the teretz is, because if the reason that you, the victim, got an infection is because you didn't listen to your doctor's orders, that's not my fault. And that's the thing here. In other words, if someone sticks you with a dirty fork, your doctor's going to put you on antibiotics. And he's going to say, take these for 7 days because you don't know what the heck was inside the guy's mouth. There's a filthy thing that's stuck into your body. If you fail to take your antibiotics and then you get an infection, you can't go back and sue me, the perpetrator, and say, listen, I got an infection because you. I'll say, no, you got an infection because you didn't listen to your doctor. If you had taken antibiotics, which I would have paid for at the time or whatever, then this wouldn't have happened to you. I don't hear now about that you had gangrene, had your whole leg cut off. You know, I don't hear about that. Okay, so that's the din. The din is, if you're guilty, if the thing happened because you didn't listen to your doctors, that's not my fault. Chaisa venistera. If his condition improved, and then it you know, declined again. Then chaisa v'nistra, and it improved again, and it deteriorated again. Chayav ler pa'oso, it doesn't matter. That's how people go. Sometimes people go up and down. You have to keep on paying until the person is totally better. Of course, chaisa kol tzarka, if the person got totally better, and then like he lapsed into a new sickness, so that's not your fault, in a chayav ler pa'oso, then we assume that it's a new thing. People get sick. People get sick. So if the whatever it was totally healed, and then, you know, 3 months later, all of a sudden, like a new thing crops up there, that's, we don't assume that was from the original wound, it's something new. Yep, okay, so that's the refuah. And sheves is unemployment. Ronoso kiluhu shomer kishuin. You look at the guy as if he is a guardsman for kishuin. A kishui is yeah, we'll call them cucumbers.
Zucchini.
They're definitely not zucchinis. That's all I was about. In modern Hebrew, kishui is zucchini. But zucchini came from the New World, so not zucchini. Whatever it is, whatever, he's gourd. It's always gourd. That's the arts universal word. Gourd means any sort of like thing that grows on a vine. Whatever it is, it's something like that, or some kind of melon or something.
Pumpkin,
fine. Right? Shekvar nasan lo d'me yado u'd'me raglo. Because he already paid him for his hand or his foot. That was the nezik payment. So I want you to hear that. In other words, that now I'm going to tie back the thing you were looking at me askance about before, saying, you chop off the lawyer's hand, you have to pay now, you know, $1 million, because you can't practice a lawyer anymore. This is the point. The point here is, if the guy, goes without saying, that if, you know, the guy is a lawyer, and I stick a fork into his leg, and he has to spend a day in the hospital, and he misses a day of work. So I'm going to pay him his normal day of work as a lawyer payment, not as a shomer kishurim. If he has to miss work, I chop off his leg, and then he, before he can go back to work, because he has to rehabilitate and get his whatever, used to his prosthetics, whatever the story is, so then those missed days of work, I have to pay him for as the work he'll be doing afterwards. In other words, after he gets finally used to his prosthetic leg, he'll stand around as being a human scarecrow, right? So at that point, he'll have earning power again. But the days he missed while he was getting used to that, getting fitted, those are human scarecrow missed days. Why aren't they lawyer missed days? Because I paid him in one lump sum for the nezik that was done to him for losing his hand and only being able to practice as a lawyer. So in other words, if he wouldn't have missed any work, so to speak, there'd be no missed work days, here's what happened. Before the injury, he was practicing a lawyer. Then I chop off his hand, so I have to pay him now nezik for what a human being is worth as a lawyer and a human being is worth as a human scarecrow. Nimkar, the sale price at the slave market on that day. Then after that, the rest of his life is going to work as a human scarecrow. Right? If he misses one of those days of work, let's say the day is fitting his prosthetics, so that's a human scarecrow lost day of work, not a lawyer lost day of work. Because I've compensated a lawyer lost day of work at the outset from losing his hand. Okay? Fine. And the fifth paper...
Does he have to demonstrate that he had eight...
The basin will ascertain whatever. I mean,
maybe you didn't have any skin
left. That makes no difference.
He's not losing anything because he wasn't going to get anything.
Because
you have to prove he lost something.
I don't know.
Even potential.
I don't know. I don't know.
I have heard what could have had what he actually had.
I wouldn't think so. I'm not sure. I would think. I don't. The situation. I don't know. I'm inclined to think like you're thinking. If he didn't have any, he wasn't going to bill that day. He didn't miss any work. That's what I would think. I think the Mishnah's. Like we're talking about. We're imagining like real life situations. I think the Mishnah's imagining the normal case of day laborers which get paid by the day to go and do whatever, you know, build things and plant things and hoe things and stuff. But I would think indeed. I don't know. But my inclination is, if he didn't lose work because it was a vacation day anyway. You know, the day he missed was, you know, so then he wasn't going to work. Then I don't know if that's a bad example. I'll tell you why, because a person's vacation days is part of his compensation package. That's a bad example. But if he had no one, anyways, he had no one coming in that afternoon in his, you know, orthopedics practice, and that's the day he had to go. So then I would think he wouldn't have lost any income, so therefore wouldn't be compensated. That's my like educated guess, but I don't know for a fact. Okay, finally, the fifth payment is the boshes. The boshes payment is for the embarrassment. So we'll call that the emotional distress, humiliation. So hakol lefi hamvayesh v'mispayesh. Everything depends on who the perpetrator is and who the victim is. Because I guess there's more embarrassment depending, you know, what's the higher you are, the harder you fall. Like that's certainly true. If you watch, if the president is walking down, there's an inaugural election day, and he slips on a banana peel, you're going to, even though it's not funny, you're going to die laughing, because it is funny. But if
it's
some...
It's not human, it's called Schadenfreude.
What's it called?
Schadenfreude.
Is that, what word of language is that?
It's German.
It's German.
I never heard that before.
Schadenfreude? It's like a sad, it's not the right word.
Pathetic.
You get pleasure from other people's suffering.
Something, but I don't know what it is. We can
not
talk
humor.
About. It's not humor. I don't. We can do this psychological analysis another time. But it's certainly a real phenomenon. And it's weird. And you're not. But I don't know. I don't know if that's what's happening. I don't think you're. Let's say you love you. Let's say you love the president. You think he's the greatest thing ever, and you're really sad to see him slip in a banana peel. You're still gonna start cracking up. You know, a lot of times you visit people who are your friends, and like something. You know, you're playing ball with your friend and he gets a baseball right between the eyes and all of a sudden knocks over. So you're like, you want to help but you can't help but start laughing. It's like a funny phenomenon. I don't know what's going on there.
It's
I mean,
not
I could, but it's, whatever, it's not humor, but it's some, whatever it is. If you define humor as the incongruous juxtaposition of two like unexpected things, which I think is what humor is in the abstract, then it is humor. But anyways, I don't want to get semantics about that.
Tragedy is when I cut my finger. Humor is when you fall into a manhole and die.
I didn't know that. He said, tragedy is when I cut my finger. Humor is when you fall into a manhole and die. That's Mel Brooks for you. Okay.
He doesn't have a difference between human and child.
So clearly not. In any case, whatever it is, I'm just saying, if you watch the... If the president slips on a banana peel, everyone laughs. You can't help but laugh. He's utterly humiliated. Because, that's... I'm saying, if I define humor, it's not my definition, but as, like, this incongruous connection of two things. So the bigger the incongruity, and I guess the more rapid the juxtaposition, the funnier it is, for whatever reason. So that's true by a fancy, rich, important person. If you see some poor hobo walking on the street and he slips on a banana peel, you don't laugh. You actually want to cry. Like, it's like, how bad could it possibly be? It's not funny anymore. But what's not funny about it is because, like, he's already low down. So, like, of all things, you know, if a person sucker punches an important person that's more, I don't know, humiliating to the victim, then not. Than a regular person, etc. So you have to look at, and the same goes for the perpetrator. Like, if, you know, some chasha person comes and, like, you know, pokes you in the eye, that's much less humiliating than some lowlife punching in the eye. In fact, you might...
Well, that's what my father is, Rashi Toshua, isn't it? My father, it's a big Some say... Some mullet poking in the eye is much more embarrassing
there's a rush like that.
I remember learning some ballet, rubbing the shoes, so he was once in the old, he was not very good, 5'6". He was in college in LA, he was in an elevator with Will Chamberlain. Will Chamberlain looked down on him and was like, man, you short. And he said like, oh wow, Will Chamberlain talked to me.
Right. You're right. Yeah. Oh, true. Whatever it is, so that's what it is. The basin will assess what they think is appropriate from terms of humiliation. Now, yeah. Now, hamavayish es ha'arum, if a person embarrasses a naked person, we'll translate literally as naked for a second, so then hamavayish es asumo, or you embarrass a blind person, or hamavayish es ha'yashan, a sleeping person, in all cases you're chayav. In other words, we don't care the guy happens. So let's talk about arum, it's an interesting case. The guy anyways... is exhibiting no self-dignity. He's walking around naked already. Tosos are literally naked. So then, the chiddush is, you might say, oh, well, he like has no dignity, so like you can't embarrass such a person, period. So Tosos says, no, if you spit in his face, so then that, even that guy is humiliated. You'll take into consideration who the misbayash is, it's not inconceivable. There's not such a thing as he's like given up rights to his humanity, and if you do something that's inhuman to him, you'll be embarrassed.
Isn't the naked person most likely embarrassing other people?
He may be robbed of his clothes. That's why he's naked.
Although that Gemara with Rabbi Akiva, it's not.
Okay, we'll get there in a second. So that's Tosos's learning. Tosos's learning is once you're naked, you can't get any more embarrassed than that. And I'm not sure about his closing strip from him, but maybe even Tosos would say that. Maybe Tosos would say, once you're naked, like at the bottom of the pile. Rashi and the Rambam say no. I'm sorry, just to make sure I missed something clear. So Tosos says, no matter how low you are, you can always go lower. Therefore, it's always embarrassing. Did I say that before? If I didn't say that before, I meant to. I'm sorry. Tosos holds, the guy's literally naked, and even so, you're going to have to pay for his embarrassment, because spitting in his face is humiliating. Rashi and the Rambam say... No, the Rosh and Rambam was saying, what I think I might have lapsed into that a second ago, which you were disagreeing with. They say, like, a person walking around naked has like no humanity, and like he's like a dog. You can't embarrass a dog. You can't slap a dog in the face. He's not embarrassed. He's like, he's got no humanity left in him. So the Rambam says, and Rashi learns, that a naked person chooses to be really naked is like, there's no busha payment, period. No busha payment at all.
So yes, we'll see in a second. You can't insult somebody in the mikveh.
Sorry?
You can't insult somebody in
the mikveh.
No, it's not that. No, it's not that. Because that's...
Because you find lots of naked people.
Yeah, I know, unfortunately.
But it's a place where respect...
Right, but yeah, it's not undignified, exactly. The case, yeah, correct. The case, I don't necessarily know how to extend it, but the case certainly is where a person is demonstrating no lack of... You know, like a streaker running across like the baseball field, whatever, standing in Times Square, playing his guitar with no clothes on. So like, if you boo him and you hiss and spit at him, like, he's not getting any more embarrassed. He's already like, you know... He's already at the bottom. That's what say Rashi and the Rambam. Therefore, they learn that the naked guy is partially naked, or maybe he was stripped of his clothing against his will. Like the case thing is like, you know, the wind blows, and like, you know, his shirt came up, and you then on top of that rip it off them altogether. That's when you'd pay. But that's when you'd have to pay something like the mishnah says. But if he's truly naked, then he's given up rights to his busha payment. Okay. Same goes for a suma, a blind person. You might have thought, I don't know, like. He doesn't see what's happening to him, so you might have thought, oh, like, he's not embarrassed. No, he's embarrassed. Again, hakol will be lefihim spayesh. If like, so he might not experience embarrassments as much if he doesn't see how many people saw him, for example, or whatever the story is. But the point is, a blind person is not impervious to damage and embarrassment because, you know, he's still aware of what's going on. And same goes with the yashen, a sleeping person. So here the point is, like, a guy sleeping. While he's sleeping, you transport him to an embarrassing place. So, and when he wakes up, he'll be aware that he's in an embarrassing place. So he's been embarrassed while you'll pay him because he's aware when he wakes up. The fact that what you did it to him, he was asleep, doesn't matter. You strip him of his clothing when he's sleeping. Good, he doesn't know then, but when he wakes up, he'll be embarrassed. So you're paying for that. Now, hayashen shebiyesh. However, a sleeping person that causes him an embarrassment, I don't know. He rolls over in his sleep and he knocks a person's glasses off. I don't know. He drools on a person on the next bunk below him and spits on his face or whatever. So that would be pater, because to be chayav for busha, for the perpetrator to be chayav for busha, he has to intend to harm the victim. He doesn't have to intend to be mevayesh him, but he has to intend to harm him. So if he had no intent to harm at all, he'll be pater from a busha payment. So now, look at the next example.
My friend's baseball, and I throw it over my friend's head and hit some guy in the face in public. That's a putter from Pusha.
That's right, exactly right. And this is the case, the Mishnah's version of that scenario is this one, but same exact case, just different illustration. Nafal min hagag, a guy falls off the roof. On accident. He fell off the roof on accident. The hizik, and he fell on someone and clobbered them on the way down, and like, you know, everything, their clothing went off them, and everything was a disaster. You know, their broken eggs fell on their face, right. Whatever the story is. Chayav al nezek, the dope perpetrator who fell accidentally off the roof, who didn't mean to do any harm, but he ended up harming the person, he's chayav to pay for the damage done. What do you expect? Because adam mu'ud la'olam, he had to pay. But pater al boshas, he's pater from boshas because he didn't have any intention to harm anybody. So therefore he's pater even from the embarrassment that happened. And we bring up, there's a pasuk that proves it, Shneimar, the pasuk says, the case is, the psukim is talking about, Kinatu and Ashim Yachtav, two men are fighting. The Kreiva Isha Se'echad, one of their wives, get in the fray. Lahatzles Isha, Miyad Makeu, to save her husband from the other guy. And then now the Mishnah reads the words. Vishalcha Yada, she sends forth her hand. Vehechzika Mavushav, and she literally means she grabs him in his embarrassing place. It means she grabs his testicles, right? So that, now that's the, that is, that's the pasuk. So you see that she embarrassed him, but it was like she did it knowingly, intentionally. So that based on that pasuk, we say it has to be an intentional thing, but only if not intending to hurt, you wouldn't pay anything in terms of busha. And uchayv ala boshes, you're not obligated to pay for boshes, ad shehei miskaven, until you intend at least to do bad to the person. Okay.